This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined by Tom and Donny. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Donny?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, we'll stop right in. We'll go straight to league first. There is no change in the top three with only four game weeks to go. So number one is Robbie Dempsey conquering Lions, going for two in a row actually. And number two is Jack Curran. And number three is Habs United per Habstad. And just outside the top three is a couple of names you might know. Scottish fantasy football community, Harry sitting fourth and Melvinho sitting fifth. So a couple of names, no bad near the top. I think it may be too late for make a challenge for the league bit, but they could pick top three. Right, so we'll go to scores and rank for the week. I'll start off. So I think we're on wildcards. Yes, I factored over on wildcards. So Gordon and goals, 1 point. Tavernier, 16 points captain. Clark, 10 points. Ralston, 6. Ramsey, 1. Gordon, 2. Vice-captain Furuhashi, 14. Wright, 8. Ferguson, 12. Maeda, 2. Sakala, 10, which gave a total of 82 points. And to be back up to rank 237. Donny.
So snap for me, I got 82 points as well. So I've got Gordon and goals for 1, Captain Tab 16, Taylor for 6, Clark for 10, Vice-Captain Ralston for 10, Ferguson 12, Arfield 1, Mackay 7, Sims 5, Giakoumakis 4 and Sakala 10. So that's your 82 points. Global score is 2058, which keeps me in 17th position.
Tom?
I got 75 points. I had Gordon in goal. Captain Tav got me 16. Harry Clark, 10. Carter Vickers, 12. Liam Gordon, 2. Midfield, Furuhashi got me 9. McGregor, 4. Mackay got me 7. Up front, Sakala got me 10. Hendry, 2. And Mullen, 2. And my rank is a green arrow. I'm up to 255.
Cool. Right. We offer any further. The Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup draw has been, the second round has been scored and results are on my Twitter feed. I think you've all seen it, still competing. The draw for the last 16 is on my Twitter feed as well. And you will be kicking off the next game week, which is game week 35, right?
Yeah.
Total brain fat. So you can see on that, I'll also plug it near the time for the last 16 guys. It's not much time left. Right, we'll go to the results first. So for the game week ahead, in the past even. Right, on Saturday we had early kickoff with number 1, Rangers 3. Then with 3 PMs, I believe, or 2 PMs, Aberdeen 1, Livingston 2, Dundee 1, St Johnson 1, St Mirren 0, Hibs 1. And on the Sunday we had Ross County 0, Celtic 2, and Dundee United 2, Hearts 3. So over to you, Tom.
Okay, so first fixture of the weekend was Motherwell 1, Rangers 3. Motherwell, it was Ross Tierney with the goal, assist from Jake Carroll. For Rangers, it was a Liam Kelly own goal. Scott Wright scored with an assist from Sakala and a Tav pen. In this fixture, Sakala got all three bonus points. No surprise considering he got an assist. And he also won the penalty that Tav scored. And he also missed a big chance in front of goal too. The Tav penalty, unfortunately, couldn't keep the clean sheet. But Rangers did well considering they played with 10 men for the majority of the game after Balogun was sent off after 28 minutes. For Motherwell, there was no Van Veen there, so that kind of makes a decision for you in terms of Motherwell assets for me. In the last seven games, all goals have been scored by different players. And I think, to my knowledge, all assists have been by different players as well. So there's not one single consistent player given as frequent returns. So for me, it's still in a void. But Donny, what's your thoughts?
So Rangers tried to rotate in this game. Obviously, we've got Europe and Celtic coming up next. So Bassey, Kent and Aribo were all benched, with Balogun, Wright and Diallo getting some game time. Van Veen was suspended. A lot of folk thought that he was maybe injured, but he was just suspended from picking up too many bookings. So he should be back. It was a good goal to start with. Thought Wright was unlucky not to be awarded it. I think his toe poke was just too late. Balogun, no issues with the red there. It's just one of those where he goes through the ball and catches the player at the same time. So he'll now miss the Celtic game. So your back four is probably going to be set in stone for the Celtic game. Bassey will go into centre defence and Basic will start out wide. Rangers caught sleep in for the equaliser. Kamara was daydreaming a bit and Motherwell worked a good chance. That's one of the reasons I came off Rangers double defence. That kind of thing can happen with the amount of games that they've got and they're a bit stretched at the back. I've just stuck with Tav for the moment. I took a punt on Arfield this week. It didn't pay off. Didn't really do much and he also got booked. So that gives me something to think about. Wright scored the second, took it well, probably had a good game. He got one of the bonus points. It could be worth a shout, but the fact that you don't get any more Rangers team news until game week 38, it's always going to be a risk. I probably think Kent and Taribo go back straight back into that team. Then we had the three words that drive Scottish football crazy, penalty to Rangers. A lot of folk complaining. I think VAR still gives that kind of penalty challenge in the box. It's you don't like it if it's against you, but that's just how it goes, modern football. Tav slotted it away. A lot of folk would have been on Captain Tav this weekend, so I don't think anyone really made any gains out of it. So it's just good for him to keep up his scoring form. And yeah, Sakala, he had a really good game. So a lot going to be asked for him in this next couple of weeks with the injuries. Certainly kept busy. I suppose it was unlucky if you vice-captained him because his points came from assists and penalties, but at least you get a return from him. Motherwell, despite the man advantage for a good chunk of the game, they didn't really offer anything attacking-wise. Seemed pretty even. So apart from Kevin Van Veen, I don't really see any alternatives from the Motherwell team.
Peter?
Stat Motherwell, Tom, you said varied assists, varied goal scorers. It's a hard no for me. They're top 16. Before this game, they were kind of playing for Europe. I think when they were one man up, that could have been their chance for going to do something. Didn't take any advantage yet. Rangers wanted it more, looked better with 10 men still. So to me, I would be avoiding the rest of the season. I'm glad the Rangers game, we got early team news. We moved the game because I had Kent in the team. So I'd probably lost out there. And like yourself, Donny, I was on Anfield. I was having a horn with the other team news. I just went for a total punt on Wright and it worked out. It won't be long term. As I said before, he's two transfers, so he'll probably actually out this week to bring somebody else in the week later. Like you said, the back four's pretty nailed. That's what I was thinking as well. So it's pretty much going to be that back four, I'd probably imagine, for now at the end of the season. So I think you can, if you wanted a block there, but I'd be wary the way Donny mentions it all. I'll be a bit stretched at the back. And Sakala, I think I saw one team that was taking it serious after the Sakala teams. I think everybody's got to have Sakala at Tavern here to keep in and keep up with the score with effective ownership. That's it.
Yep. Next fixture was Aberdeen 1, Livingston 2. Was Ferguson with the penalty for Aberdeen. Two goals for Livy came from Devlin and Holt. Devlin, we know he's a defender that's got a goal in him. However, he very rarely scores more than 3 points a game, as Livingston don't really seem to keep clean sheets. And news broke today that Strijic is going to have to serve a two-match ban for an incident that happened in the game. I think he swung for one of the Aberdeen midfielders, so that obviously weakens the Livingston defence even further. Ross McCorry got a red card in this game. Two yellows, both for fouls, so he'll miss the next game. And obviously Ramirez was benched. maybe not surprising given his form. I know some people have backed him to kind of try and finish the season on a high note, but wasn't to be in this fixture. If we look at the Livingston players, there was no Alan Forrest in this game, but I noticed that Bruce Anderson was on the bench, yet he didn't feature, so something to keep an eye on there. In the past pod, I said I wasn't really convinced on Ferguson. However, in this fixture, he did prove me wrong. Aberdeen don't have a lot to play for, but perhaps Ferguson's playing for a move away. Stats-wise, there probably wasn't a lot to talk about between the two games, so I'll let Peter take the floor on this one and give us your insights.
Well, first, I should back when we start like about Gumby School. The bookies at Livingston finished top of the bottom six with the most points, and I went, and then I went back to Aberdeen players because I thought I had a bit of pride and maybe have something to play for, something to prove, and that's came back and slapped me in the face. Livingston still look good. I think Livingston would be good at the end of the season with one or two players for the bench. I was going to say the goalkeeper, but obviously that's now out of the equation. Maybe one of the fullbacks, or if Max Anderson's back, maybe. The Forrest situation's pretty annoying because I brought him in, and then obviously the transfer link with him to Hearts and Dundee United, I believe, are the two teams. So we get early team news this week, and if he's nowhere near it, he will one of them or two transfers out to get something that's definitely playing. Aberdeen, I suppose, like you say, is Ferguson still returned on a bad team. I would be holding on to him. I think I'm in a rush to get him out because he's on pens. He's playing a further forward role, and I believe he's kind of the heart of that team. Apart from Aberdeen, look absolutely dire, and lucky there's only four games left. I think he would be in real, real trouble.
Yeah, well, apparently if the Strijdic incident was picked up upon, it would have been another penalty and therefore potentially another goal for Ferguson as well. What's your thoughts, Donny?
Yeah, if you've not seen the incident, Bzarwin gets smacked in the face. Keeper's running out with the ball in his hand and he kind of takes a swipe at Bzarwin. And Bzarwin got booked for it. It was absolutely mad. It's definitely a penalty and a red card. As you say, the keeper's now suspended for two games. So if you backed him on your wild card, you should have an alternative to go to. Good goal for Devlin, the opener. It was quick to react. Aberdeen, I think they're just out of luck. You know, the penalty that was given, the player just comes in the blind side of Ojo and trips over. You know, I don't think he even saw him coming. Holt, I heard the stat on Sports Scene. He's played every minute of every game. That's his first goal. And he almost missed it too. Crashed off the underside of the bar. But Ferguson, you know, doing Ferguson things, scores the pen, wins the pen. Two bonus points. For me, he's a must-have. As terrible as Aberdeen are, there's points in him. I think he's playing better since Scott Brown left. I think he is more of a central focal point that everything goes through. A lot of teams will be sniffing after him, no doubt. You mentioned about Anderson being on the bench. Certainly one to go to, you know, those like a punt and maybe think that Henry's gone off the boil. Certainly one to look for. If you see in the team news he's in there, then certainly one that you could do. But Aberdeen, I tried to give them benefit of the doubt last week. And the first game, they've shoved it back in my face. So stay clear of them, apart from Ferguson. Yeah, that's that.
Yep. Well, speaking of Henry, next fixture up is Dundee FC versus St Johnstone, and it was a 1-1 draw. St Johnstone, it was Rooney that scored with an assist from Hallberg. Dundee, it was Jordan Marshall with an assist from Paul McGowan. That could be it for Dundee. We'll see how they play in the next fixture, and I'll probably make my own decision on Mullen, who I have up front, on the back of that. For now, I'm willing to keep a hold of him and see what happens. Not a huge amount of stuff to talk about in the game. Probably the biggest talk at point was Charlie Adams' dismal dive. least said about that, the better, probably. Rooney kind of sprung to life in this fixture, having had a fairly disappointing season based on what St Johnstone did last season and his own individual form from last season as well. I'm sure a lot of us had them in August, but he never really kind of pressed on this season. Out of St Johnstone's 10 shots, four of them came from Rooney. That's probably not enough for me just now to jump straight back on him. One good game doesn't make him a foreign player, but I'm willing to keep an eye on him just now. I already have Clark, already have Liam Gordon, so at the minute, that's enough for me. Donny, what's your thoughts there?
Well, Dundee started the game well. It's a well-worked goal. They had a couple of chances even before that, but it must have gave them confidence. Certainly had the better of the first half. Then I think St Johnstone slowly came back into the game. I think the way that St Johnstone have been playing at the moment, they're never down and out in their games. They do kind of edge their way back into it. And you saw that with the equaliser. It was a pretty easy header from a corner. You'd expect better from your defence on that one. Apologies to anyone who backed Charlie Adam. I kind of bigged him up last week. I didn't put him in my team. I managed to talk myself out of it. But that dive was something else, and rightfully booked. As I said, Henry's kind of gone off the boil. He didn't score, whether that's off the boil or not. You can make up your own mind. But obviously the remainder of the games now will all be teams that are higher than them in the league. So if they are to do anything, it's more than likely going to be through him. So Dundee avoid. I think they're a dead duck now. St Johnstone, I don't have St Johnstone in defence. Again, I talked myself out of it. But Henry would probably be the only one that you might want to back there.
Peter, your thoughts?
I thought it was quite a nervy game. Like Donnie said, I think Dundee started quite well. You thought, OK, here we go. But then St John's, I think, maybe just the memory how they seem to play. They did come into game just slowly but surely, come into game, and when they scored, looked quite comfortable. I'm not, if I was on any of the strikers, well, I'm not on one actually, I'm on Henry, if I was, I'm on one. Any of the strikers, I'd wait another week first, because they're playing now and they're still something to play for. I'm going to assume most people have him as a third choice striker anyway. They're not going to be starting 11 with the bench trick or have him off the bench. So one more week to see what happens with that. You'll see how things lie. And then you'll maybe see how people are safe. Donny's going to get in a minute as well in the next section. And then you can maybe move to strikers who are starting to play for. But I wouldn't be rushing off it. Same way, I think St John's next game is Nairn.
St Mirren at home.
Right, so I mean, yeah. I've got a St John's defender. I'm quite happy because I think some men are quite toothless. So it's not one I'd be ready to sell either. Dundee drop any more points, but I think he would be just getting a max extra sell for that team. But then there's other, I'll wait as well. See, once they're relegated, you see this happen sometimes where the players start playing without freedom. But I just don't see this Dundee team. I think they're a poor side and it's a lame duck ready to go.
Yep. So, toothless St Mirren. It was St Mirren 0, Hibs 1. The goal came from Ewan Henderson with an assist from Harry Clark. I think all of us backed Hibs for the clean sheet this week. Or most of us on the pod did. Not surprisingly, given how poor St Mirren have been in front of goal. And Hibs didn't disappoint. Those that went with Harry Clark were also rewarded with an assist. And he also got a point for three interceptions as well. But surprisingly, no bonus. What was probably even more surprising was that Scott Tanzer got two bonus points. Must have probably been for hitting the woodwork and his underlying numbers. In terms of Hibs, Ewan Henderson is an interesting one. He started in the Cup semi-final. And he's back again under David Gray. So perhaps he's worth a punt for those looking to have a bit of a differential and try and gain some ground. St Mirren, just not really interested in any of their assets. We've kind of said already they're pretty toothless. There's no sort of one standout player there that we'd be interested in. Donny, what do you reckon?
Yeah, so this is what happens when two out of four teams collide. There wasn't much in the way of chances for either team. I think you do see a bit of a bounce from Hibs. Unlike Aberdeen and St Mirren, who changed managers recently, they've not got any better, worse, I guess, for St Mirren. But I think Hibs, you probably can back them. Clark was fortunate with the assist. It's more of a tackle than anything. The ball comes to Henderson, but as I say, I think we're all on them and grateful of the points. Hibs, I'd probably stick with Hibs defence and you know, Clark, if you've got him. St Mirren, I would stay clear of. I don't see any value there. St Mirren's probably the team you target, probably even ahead of Dundee, because Dundee can score. I don't think they're such a bad bet there. But St Mirren, whoever's playing St Mirren, if you've got a defender or their strikers, I would back heavily on them. I think they're definitely on the slide. Whether they've got enough games to stay clear of the bottom, I'm not really sure.
And Peter?
Yep, totally avoid St Mirren. I think we mentioned it last week. they're very lucky again that that finished one each of the two teams, or so they kind of don't lose that much ground. But there's big games coming up next couple of weeks, and that could be right dragged in it. They're probably lucky Dundee's really, really poor, by the way, to make it right down. Talked to a couple of high B fans from Caravan Land. They were quite happy getting these back in charge. They look, they say, more compact. The players look more up for it. Looking at heat maps, is it Harry Clark, isn't it?
I mean,
he's really pushing forward for defender. I mean, his heat map's right far up that right-hand side. And Muni Henderson's playing slightly like off a striker, so I wouldn't say he's out of position, but he's probably as close out of position you could get for a maybe a cheeky point midfield. Do something like that, or if you might maybe add from your bench boost. I quite fancy Hibs now for the season. I think your man Grable will maybe try to get this job. I don't think he's going to get it. And like me guys, like Bill, whether it's sure or not, Roy Keane. But he's doing himself no harm if he does well at the end of the season. And I think having a couple of players in there for the end of the season might do your rank not bad.
Yeah. Next fixture up, we've got Ross County 0, Celtic 2. Goals came from Kyogo with an assist from Yota, and the second goal came from Yota. Celtic also kept a clean sheet. Kyogo started, which was good. I mentioned my own opinion last week that he's coming back for injury. I felt like he needed some time. I thought he had a good game. He obviously got a goal here. He hit the woodwork, missed a big chance as well, and perhaps on a better day he could have had a hat-trick. In terms of Yota, it's just typical. We felt like he's kind of been overpriced recently, not done a lot. Most of us probably got rid of him in the wild card, and he goes and gets a goal and assist. So, but this is fantasy football for you. Clean sheet. I went for Carter Vickers since Juranovic was out, and he got the two bonus points, and he's also a threat from corners. But I think you're probably in safe hands regardless of what Celtic defender you go for there. They're doing well defensively. It's difficult to judge County on a game like this. So I'm probably not going to judge them. Peter, would you like to judge them?
Yes. I put Ross County in this kind of same bracket as Motherwell. They had a chance for Europe. They were at the home, so they've done something against the bigger teams. And they just kind of weird press. I watched the game back, so obviously I think it was out. It was at a lovely Indian house on Sunday, so a wee plug from a window there. Why send me some free stuff? but then. The press was kind of half-hearted. It was kind of weird. They were kind of half-pressing and then stopping and let's say they play one to play. So it was kind of weird. I mean, Rangers proved it the last couple of weeks ago and other teams have done it. There's a way to get in Celtic's face and press, and it was just, I don't know if they believed themselves that they could do it. And you watched it, I was like, well, this game's only going to go one way. I mean, I took a punt for a Hashi vice-captain and it worked out well. I think he'll be vice-captain at the end of the season for me, out of position. Like you said, Tom, Jota, I took him out. I mean, if I'd burnt with this whole double Celtic midfield before, even though they're not two midfielders in the game, they're in the game but not on the pitch. And I went for Maida instead, and obviously Jota after a couple of weeks returns, but those then breaks. Can't complain the score I got. Donny mentions Rangers back four was kind of nailed. I think you can say the same with Celtic as well now. Juranovic out pretty much end of the season. I think if you take your pick from Ralston, Taylor, Starfelt, or Vickers, that's going to be the four right now into the season. So obviously next week we'll get a question that later on, Donny, where people have got maybe four defenders, but apart from that, going forward, I think you'd be safe betting with any two of the four for both teams.
Yep. Donny?
Yeah, so that's Charles Cook now, not scored in his last seven games, so if you're clinging on to hope that he might finish the season strong, it's slowly dying out. They've got Hearts away next as well, so it's probably not going to get any easier for them. Kyogo starting is a big boost for Celtic. It's obviously a big game this weekend. He had O'Reilly in midfield, but I would have thought Rogic comes in on Sunday. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yep, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went double Celtic defence on my wild card. I just thought out of the two Old Firm teams, this is the one that seems more nailed on. As soon as Juranovic news came through, I was straight on Ralston and Taylor. So I think it's a safe bet. It depends how you think, but I vice captained Ralston. You know, clean sheet, you get 10 points almost without any thought process. But saying that, you know, Kyogo played really well. I'm probably going to have to bring him in. And it's actually quite funny because Jota and Kyogo are the two players I said that I didn't fancy last week in the wild card, and they both proved me wrong. with that one. County, yeah, there's very little chances. I'm surprised it was only 2-0, actually. Left it late to get the second, but the amount of chances they had in the first half was unreal. I had Giakoumakis on my wild card. I know a lot of folk went Meira. I actually had him on my bench. I wasn't too confident of him starting, and he didn't. But he got the assist for the Jota goal, so managed to return me some points. And I say hopefully he starts this weekend, but I'd rather he didn't do anything. As I say, Ross County didn't really learn much from this game in Hearts. After that, you're probably going to stay clear of it. For me, once you get past the Sunday Celtic, you know, double defence and Kyogo, it's probably going to be me nailed on between now and the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Just for you to follow, see on that, I will see you answer your own question. So it's Giakoumakis you're going to shift for Kyogo? And
I think Kyogo, double-edged swords with Kyogo. If you don't have him, you could lose points. And if you've got him, you're going to make the points. So it's almost like a head-to-head with him and Giakoumakis. And I just think, you know, based on what you've seen in the past and the weekend, I think Kyogo probably does offer you more variety. So either way, I hope they both have a bad game at the weekend.
I know either. It's
fantasy, isn't it? So, you've got to chase the points.
Yep. And that leads us to our final fixture then, Dundee United 2, Hearts 3. For Dundee United, goals came from Levitt and Ryan Edwards. Assists came from Watt and Smith. I don't think we can question Hearts' motivation after the scoreline. Boyce and Sims both scored after having a bit of a barren spell in the league. I know they both got assists in the semi-final, but if we're focusing on fantasy football, we're interested in the league. So perhaps they're back to form now. Barry Mackay got his weekly assist, so that was good for his owners. Josh Ginley, he was also rewarded with a goal as well. Bit of a stats monster in this game. He had 8 shots, 2 on target, 2 off and 4 blocked, hit the woodwork and missed a big chance. I wouldn't get too carried away though, as this is his first attack and return since game week 21, but definitely something to keep an eye on. I think if he does similar in the next fixture, then he's maybe someone to get on. Sims was benched, but he came off and scored, so a nice little way to end the game there. No Kingsley in this fixture. Hopefully back for the next game. So owners, keep an eye out on injury news. And Gary Mackay-Stevens was also back from injury and featured in midfield. In terms of Dundee United, Nicky Clark missed a couple of big chances. He's a cheap striker option. However, he'll have to play Celtic and Rangers in the next 4, as will Ryan Edwards, who also got a goal as well. I think he's was a favourite kind of start to mid-season for a centre-back. He was getting fairly regular goals, and Dundee United at the time were doing quite well defensively. Not so much in this game, having conceded 3 goals, but perhaps you could maybe have them as a one-week punt. If you're feeling your team's particularly strong, you could take a punt next game week against Motherwell and then switch them back out again for those looking to gain a little bit of ground. Donny, what's your thoughts there?
It was a really good game of football, end-to-end stuff. I've got Sims, so I was a bit worried to see him on the bench. Kept checking at half-time and throughout the game, see when he was getting substituted on. But no, United started really well and deserved to go ahead. These are the types of games where you've got to question, you know, Hearts' concentration. I know there's a lot of people you know, trying to get into the cup final team, but I'd stay clear of the double defence. Because they can loop goals, but certainly they play positive enough going forward that, you know, Mackay's a standout. He's a must-have, if you ask me. I don't think anyone should be without him in your team. Anyone that had Boyce would have been happy with the equaliser. And then Sims, thankfully, repaid me some points at the end with his strike. United have now got Motherwell at home. That's the one that they will need to focus on. It's still hard to pick any United players. There's loads that you can choose from, but there's none that you'd really be confident in. Hearts, I've still got Gordon, Mackay and Sims, and I'd be pretty happy keeping those 3, especially if Sims can nail down a start. And as you've already mentioned, certainly remaining competitive. So anyone that thinks they might be an easy target, you know, they're going to come across a good attacking team that are still pretty much in form. So, yeah, it was a very good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ross County at home next. Peter, your thoughts on this fixture?
Yep, same with Donny. I enjoyed the game. I thought it was quite good ending and stuff. Today, Dolphs came out and went for it as well. Don't you think they're a kind of weird team? I'm not going to back them. I'm not going to play their team because obviously the fixtures I've got. But they certainly go for it. And they play a nice, attractive kind of football. At least they try. They're after guys like Forrest. They're trying to say, I think they're good, maybe interested to see how they go over the summer for next year's campaign and how they get back and see. They might be more attractive asset then. I mean, they still potentially could finish in Europe. It's looking doubtful, but they could. Hearts, again, it's always the same names you mentioned. They're always quite reliable. You have one of the strikers, Mackay, Gordon. They look a bit weak right now defensively, and they're getting players back for injuries. So maybe the double up, Donny says, should be stay off it right now, but maybe near the end of the end again, they've got Rangers again. So again, probably avoid for the end of the season, avoid it. But if you go with a goalkeeper and one of the strikers and Mackay, I don't think you can go wrong. You just bench him on difficult fixtures and bring back out.
Yep. Donny. Well, we've had Donny, we're done.
Yep. We'll repeat ourselves. That takes us to Donny. So Donny's gonna let us know how the lay of the land is and who teams are left to play for. On you go, Donny.
Yeah, so based on the last six games, going to run through form. Some will know, and some is quite surprising. Then I'll break down top six and bottom six. So of the last six games, one of which has obviously been in the split, it's no surprise that Celtic, Rangers and Hearts make up the top three. Celtic, 6 out of 6. Rangers, 15 out of 18, and Hearts, 14 out of 18. But who do you think is next in terms of current form, Peter?
Ross County.
Okay, Tom?
Livingston.
It is actually Ross County with 10 points. So if you take the Celtic defeat aside, it's definitely a club that are punching above their weight. And with that lure of European football, you know, they're going to try and do their best to finish strongly, but they're certainly having a good season. Tom, you mentioned Livingston. They're actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're sixth based on current form. The team are actually in fifth on current form is St Johnston with 8 points out of 18. So when we talk about a team overperforming, then certainly St Johnston are the ones that are, you know, the most attractive there. So Livingston, Dundee United, we've then got Hibs, and then a team that's underperforming next is Motherwell, really out of form. I think we say that every time we talk about them. Out of the bottom three teams, what do you think is the most out of form team, Tom?
Out of form? St Mirren.
Peter?
I think St Mirren or Aberdeen. I think St Mirren.
Yeah, it is St Mirren. So we've got Dundee and Aberdeen, both got 4 points out of the last 18. And I think Aberdeen can count themselves lucky that they had a good start to the season, because it's just snowballed downhill from there. They're still at risk of finishing 11th, but I think there's enough bad teams below them, if that makes sense. Dundee, I think they had their chance against St Johnston, and I think they're stuck there now. But St Mirren are the one that are really going backwards. When you say about St Johnston overperforming, St Mirren are, you know, slipping backwards. So it's just interesting to see current form. Gives you a little idea of how teams are performing against their positions in the league. So we'll cover off next what's still left to play for. So in the top six, we've got Celtic. 4 games to go. They only need 7 points to win the league. If they win the game on Sunday, they'll only need a draw. And I think for that reason alone, they'll come out all guns blazing, a bit like they did in the 3-0 game. I can see them really trying to get Rangers early on. And if they do that, then the league's all but sewn up. Squad rotation-wise, whether that changes things once they've won the league, I'm not so sure. You guys will know better than me who needs a rest, who doesn't need a rest. But I think we talked about the back four being the same. Yeah.
I think. But just, well, you think that I was listening to a podcast about the day, actually, about the rest. The people debating, I don't know if they'll just We'll take out players who look done. Like the Hatate looks dead in his feet. Bale, just take him out, maybe put Turnbull on at the end of the season. But I think we'll go away the strongest team.
Think so?
I think we'll just keep on playing them.
Yeah, could be. So Rangers next. Obviously, they've got the Europa League semi-final on Thursday. But unfortunately, injuries and suspensions are starting to take their toll. And that's Balogun out of the weekend. So as we've already mentioned, you've got Tav Goldson, Bassey, Barisic, all going to start at the back, Kent Aribo and Sakala as well. So, you know, they're going to be consistent from a team selection point of view. It's if we get any more injuries or anything, then they really will struggle. Of course, if they lose on Thursday, lose on Sunday, you know, it could all just blow up quite spectacularly. But, you know, they're still playing pretty decent. Stop grinning. Hearts are next. As I've already discussed, they still seem set on playing competitive. And you've got the likes of Gary Mackay-Stevens you know, coming back from injury. They'll be trying to get into the team for the cup final. So stick with the Hearts assets. Maybe not so much the double defence, but they're still valuing the Hearts team, which wasn't going to be too sure about once they got to the cup final. I'll talk about Dundee United, Ross County, Motherwell all together because they're all on similar points. Dundee United just edging, they're a point ahead of Ross County, Motherwell, both on 30. But they all played teams above them this weekend and they all lost. So that was quite interesting. Just means the head-to-heads is going to be the crucial games. So Dundee United play Motherwell next and Ross County are away to Hearts. So if United do win, it could give them a four-point cushion against their rivals, which then they've got Rangers to play after that. So again, so I'll try to get points where they can. Ross County, they're away to three scoring Hearts. And the fact that County are struggling to score goals now, and would expect a strong defensive performance, maybe look to try and nick it. Ross County then play Motherwell at home, which is a game that they'll try and target. So Motherwell, away to Dundee United, and then away to Ross County. So they've probably got the two best run of games playing the teams beside them, because then after that, they've got Hearts and Celtic. So this will be their best chance. As we've mentioned, Van Veen wasn't available at the weekend. If they are going to do something, then they're going to need to rely on him to close that gap. So that's the top six. It's still quite competitive. Maybe not so much at the top, but you know, we can all cross our fingers. But certainly for that last European space, there's still a lot to pay for. Any comments on any of that?
First, yep. I just was looking at you saying that there. I think you're quite right. You can see they're all still playing for that European place, so they're only 1 point in it, like you mentioned. So I don't see any of them not trying. I mean, we mentioned Hearts of their own; they'll still do it. Certainly, they're still technically fighting for the league. So I think if you fancy any teams, if you really really fancy them, go for it because they're not there for all down until we only reach it. So I think that top six are all quite competitive, and like you said, when they play each other, maybe use your gut, who do you fancy, and take a punt. You make yourself up your minor league.
And it's two European places as well, so two of them aren't going to get into Europe.
So it's up, is it down to fifth?
Yeah, it's only one team's going to miss out.
Well, I thought it was only four, so there you go. That's,
I imagine it's the conference, the Europa conference for them, but you know they'll be playing lesser opposition. So.
It's gate receipts and money, isn't it? That's the Nations League.
Tom, anything to add to that?
No, all sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, so move on to the bottom six. This is where it's all happening. Hibs, currently top of the pile as far as the bottom six is concerned. And as we've already discussed, I think under Gray they've showed a good turnaround. And for me, they're worth backing with those games. I think Harry Clark, as we keep mentioning, seems to be the main one to back. It's hard to know where else to go. I think you're probably going to be taking punts, but... Hibs certainly looking like they're on form. Livingston next. A good win, again, shows that they're staying competitive. You know, league position's important to a club like that, the prize money that they get. Hibs at home and then St Johnstone at home. So they'll look to do the damage there as best they can. Anderson on the bench, you know, he could be the man to lead them to victory there. Aberdeen, as I mentioned, I tried to give them benefit of the doubt. And talk them up, but they just really don't look interested. Ramirez being benched, you know, kind of shows that Goodwin has no trust in them, apart from Ferguson, which we've already mentioned. I would stay clear of everyone else. Second bottom on current form, as I've already suggested. Dundee, then Hibs. If they don't get any points there, then they really are going to be in trouble facing St Johnstone and St Mirren after that. So Aberdeen need to get their finger out. I just don't think they will. St Mirren, as I've said before, stay clear of St Mirren. And they proved us right. St Johnstone away, then Dundee at home. If you lose those two, then I think that's it. You're going to be stuck in that 11th place. Worst team overall, based on the last six games, 3 points. So, as I say, stay clear of them. St Johnstone, you can look at St Johnstone either way. I've already said they are overperforming. But at the end of the day, they're on 31 points. They're 5 points behind St Mirren. So they are still poor over the course of a season. But you probably do have value. Talked about their defence and Hendry up front. He'll need to get scoring boots on if they're to close the gap. And Johnson probably need to win two of their last four games if they are going to survive the playoffs. So whether you think they can do that will be whether you want to jump on them or not. But based on form, that I think certainly they can do. From what we saw at the end of the week, I think it's Arbroath now that are guaranteed to finish second in Championship. So they'll be scouting them and seeing just in case they have to go to their stadium. Dundee, well, what could we say about Dundee? I think they're just a comedy club now. We talked about McGee sitting cold and hungry in his house, promised to get naked if they win. I think they're done. They're absolutely done. They're 10 points ahead of safety with four to play and they're five adrift of St Johnstone. I'm not sure anyone can turn that around. I think they just have to budget for the Championship. Whether, I think, Peter, you mentioned this, it might free them up to play relaxed attacking football. Who knows? I don't think you're going to take your chances on there. So that's the bottom six. As I say, there's still a bit to play for. In terms of just staying out of the danger zone, anyone outside of Dundee, as far as that's concerned. Anything you want to add to that, Tom?
Nope, sounds good.
Peter?
Yep, just what you said there, I think I would avoid Dundee. I think St Johnstone can catch St Mirren, so I'm quite happy to go on them. St Mirren, free fall. Aberdeen, I don't think it's good when what they're trying. I think he's just lost. That's basically Stephen Glass's team he's got there, about one or two players. I think they're just not interested. And quicker to get to the end of the season and rebuild or rather rid of the deadwood. The next game's Dundee, so I think that any sort of point victory that should be them safe and probably to see it into the season. Livingston mentioned the money situation, so they'll be still trying, and I think Hibs will be trying because the new manager bounced and they're playing for the guy who obviously was part of their squad and they do much respect him. So that's a bit of food for thought. Who you want to back in the bottom six?
Indeed.
Well done. Right, that takes us to our question, not plural. Donnie, you got a question you want to read out and we'll answer?
Yeah, so Brian at Blades Attack, he's obviously went heavy in his wild card. He's got four Old Firm defenders. So his question is, if you've got four Old Firm defenders, do you just hope for a 0-0 or bench half of them? So that's his question.
You might go first.
Okay, it feels like there's been an Old Firm every couple of weeks at the moment, just the way the fixtures have panned out. I've said before, it's a lottery of a game. So you know, don't be too scared by it. I can't remember the last Old Firm that finished 0-0. You guys might have a better memory than me, but history suggests there's going to be goals. That being said, Vickers, Goldson, Taff, Taylor, they all scored in Old Firm, so don't be afraid of attacking returns. For me, you've got to back a team and stick to it. You know, Celtic are favourites, they're playing at home. The victory will all but seal the league. You don't drop Tavernier. So, you know, you're probably going to keep him. If you've got four, which Brian does, probably bench two of them. And, you know, if one team gets a clean sheet, your bench trick might kick into play. And, you know, it's damage limitation if both teams score. I've got three, so I'm double Celtic along with Tavernier. For me, Tavernier stays. And probably keep the two Celtic, you know, full backs, so there's a chance of attacking returns there. But don't be put off. Most folk have got six Old Firm players, so they're going to have to manage it some way or another. I would say most folk have got three, if not four, defenders. So it's, you know, it's a tried and tested lineup. You know, it's one game. You just have to get past it and then push on. But you're in the boat along with many others. So.
Okay, Tom, how would you answer that question that we get four times a season on this pod?
You can probably stick Tav in the lineup because, you know, Donnie mentioned Eva earlier, penalty to Rangers. It's a phrase we hear quite often. So, Tav's a man for goals. There's a threat both ends of the pitch. So, I suppose you could argue the same for Celtic fullbacks as well, and even Carter Vickers. I think the last time they played each other, Carter Vickers hit the crossbar. So, not with the realms of possibility for attacking returns there. So, you could argue there's perhaps merit in waiting to see what happens with the European game on Thursday. And basing your decision on that, obviously, if the tie's over, then they'll maybe focus all their efforts into Sunday's game. If the tie's still alive, then perhaps they might keep a bit back for the return fixture the following week. So you could come up with a thesis based on that as well. For me, the bench trick always works quite well, sticking a couple, maybe even three on the bench and getting the best from there. But I think overloading the bench with three of them, perhaps you're at risk of you know, leaving some big points on the bench depending on how the game pans out. So I'd maybe look at two and maybe go from opposing teams as well and then just playing the rest and seeing what happens.
Okay, Alan, so first of all, I'd say, well, Donny's already started saying it, I wouldn't sweat about it too much. Most people will have probably three defenders, potentially four. And go we got, if you think Celtic's going to win, bench Rangers defenders. If Rangers going to win, bench Celtic defenders, whatever you feel. Me personally, I've got the bench trick, so I'm going to bench Tav, and if he goes nuts, he'll come off the bench. That's what I'm going to look at, because I'm not going to miss out these points regardless, because if you start him. Now, I'm saying that, I look at who I've got first. I've got Ramsey at the back there, so Tav probably might return more than Ramsey, but I just don't see, I don't see it finishing a clean sheet, and I don't see Rangers keeping a clean sheet, so I've got to weigh up my defenders and I'm going to do, but I've got the bench trick, so even if I do bench Tav and he does have an attack return, he'll come off the bench, so you've got to weigh that up as well with your team if you're going to have one each maybe playing and one benched. But as Donny said, you don't need to lose too much ground unless the ones you bench are the wrong ones, but that could happen any week. But I wouldn't be too fussed about it, to be quite honest. Just, it's only one game week, we're all going to have to deal with the same problem, then we'll back to normal next week. Right, that takes us to our fixtures before we finish up. So, can I mention the fixtures slowly during the pod? So, we'll just mention them all again. This week, we're actually going to have five games on Saturday at 3 o'clock. So, that will give us 10 early team news. So, that's good for people who are on the wildcard with two free transfers coming off it. We've got Aberdeen, Dundee and Motherwell, Hearts, Ross County, Livingston, Hibs, St Johnstone, St Mirren, and then Sunday we get Celtic versus Rangers. So, upon hearing that, Donnie, and early team news, what is your captaincy, vice-captaincy and transfer plans for this week?
So, as you've already mentioned, you need to see how Rangers get on in Europe, just in case there's any injuries off the back of that. Press conferences as well, you can get a lot from there. So, just keep an eye out. I've yet to make a decision. I think the standout fixture outside the Old Firm is probably the Hearts game at home to Ross County. Hearts are free scoring. It seems a team you can back quite easily. So like some Mackay and Sims would be two to go for there. My weak links at the moment in my team are Ramsey for Aberdeen and Forrest because he didn't start. If Forrest starts, you probably give him the benefit of the doubt. If he doesn't, then I can ship him for Furuhashi and then look to get in. I'll have a space up front. Let's see. Could go Anderson if Anderson's in the lineup, or I could just play it safe and go to Hendry and protect it there. But I'll probably look to target the Hearts game. Saying that, I'll probably change my mind last minute and captain to have and watch it all blow up in my face. But I think Hearts is probably the best fixture to look at there. So I'll probably target Hearts, Mackay and Sims.
I have to see you there. You see that, Tom?
So I've got Chris Cadden in my team. I took a punt on him with Hibs. He came off after 20 minutes, so I'll probably look to get rid of him. Probably going to bring in Ferguson at Aberdeen. I know it's a poor side, but he's the talisman. And they're playing Dundee next, and they're at home. So if I bring in Ferguson, I'll probably look to captain him. Vice captain, St Johnstone are at home to St Mirren. St Mirren can't really score, so I could maybe look at vice captain on Liam Gordon for those clean sheet points.
Bold.
Aye.
Well, that's bold. Bold. Fair enough. Transfers? Is that a one you're going to think? Anybody else?
So I've got two transfers, but I think I'm probably going to pocket one of them and just do the Ferguson move. Your captain, Furuhashi, vice captain Furuhashi this week?
Yes, I think I will. I'll keep it on Furuhashi. Captain, I have no idea. I did think St Johnson. I did think Liam Gordon earlier on, but I think it's a crazy. The transfers, as Donny mentioned, Forrest. If Forrest head's gone, he's not in the Livingston team, he has to go. It'll probably be easy to move to pick Barry Mackay in now. That was the tentative plans anyway. He'd been into the season. And I think Scott Wright would be another one. And then that would be let me free up another spot for Rangers one the week later. Another position, because I don't think Wright's, as Donny mentioned, Wright's not going to have it nailed. So probably look to see the early team news, see what it looks like, and then Wright would move to a playing player. I've heard that Ferguson won't be him, so I don't know yet. I need to look see. Might take a punt on a Dundee midfielders for a 1 week punt, and then the captain, I've probably no idea. I don't fancy any clean sheets. I don't want any of the Celtic Rangers back line. Maeda, I don't know if he's worth. I mean, he might have a game at some point. I don't know if they get to bring him in. So I might end up with you, Tom. I might end up with Lewis Ferguson after me mocking you slightly about 2 minutes ago. But again, that's all changed. Donny says Thursday night is a big game as well. If Rangers come out at that point, then that might be a good choice and all. Even if not the captain, the vice captain, I don't know. Maybe going penalty daft on Sunday. We'll see.
Nah, I think it's Beaton that's the referee. There's no chance he gives us a penalty.
Brother Beaton? Come on.
I think so. He's too scared. Get his face set fire.
Nah, so he should be. I'm right. Anyway, that's a joke. It's a joke, guys. Allegedly. Right, that is us finished for the game week. We're back next week. Now, I believe next week, if I'm right, this is when we've got the midweek games. We do, don't we? Tuesday and Wednesday.
Is it?
It is. Tuesday, 10th, 11th. We have some only midweek games, so we'll discuss off-pod what we're going to do next week. Haven't quite worked out yet. So before we go, Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup, one last time, plug it. I will retweet the draw before the game on Saturday and take it there. So get your plugs in, guys, Donny.
Just DonnyRob77 on Twitter.
Tom?
I'm at FFS_scout on Twitter.
I'm at Fantasy Half. We are the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all. We'll see you again next week. Say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.